There's a story told about Desmond Tutu when he was a child walking on the street with his mother in his native South Africa. Remember that at that time, apartheid would have been in full force. And as they were walking down the street, they saw a tall, dignified white man walking down the street approaching them wearing a clerical collar. Now, in that day, the expectations were that when a white person was approaching a black person on the street in South Africa, that the black would step off of the sidewalk, and as the white person passed them, they would bow their head in a sign of respect. Well, as Desmond, as a young man, and his mom were walking, they noticed this particular man, as they were coming, didn't wait for them to step off the sidewalk, but he himself stepped off, bowed in their direction, and tipped his hat to them as they went by. Desmond, as they continued walking, recognized how out of the ordinary that was, and as they got past where the other man could hear, said to his mother, "Why did that man do that?" Her answer changed the direction of his life. She said, "Because he's an Anglican priest, and the goodness that he's learned from scriptures has made him into someone who shows kindness and graciousness even when it's not expected." And Tutu remembers that day and said, "I decided as a boy right then that I wanted to be an Anglican priest. I wanted to follow an example of someone who had learned from Jesus kindness and compassion even when it's not expected." When we look into Scripture, we do see over and over again Jesus showing compassion, kindness, care for people who are struggling. And in our reading today from Luke 7, we see two different stories where Jesus, showing compassion, cared for people in need. We see two different miracles where Jesus responds by showing power to people in need as he cared and loved and responded. Now, to set context, Luke 6, the end of Luke 6, includes Jesus in a setting teaching his disciples many of the same lessons we see recorded in the Sermon on the Mount. The end of Luke 6 is often called the Sermon on the Plain. It's not as long or doesn't have all the elements of the Sermon on the Mount, but we do see that he's been talking about blessings upon people. He's been talking about love for enemies, how we're not supposed to judge, we're supposed to bear fruit, we're supposed to build our lives on the rock, the foundation that is God. He's been talking about what it means to be a disciple. And then in chapter 7, he shows them examples of what he has come to do. He encounters first, or he gets word as he returns to Capernaum, he gets word from a centurion, a military officer, a powerful man who led large groups of soldiers. The centurion would have been a Gentile who worked for the Roman army. And so, generally, Jews did not like centurions, did not like the army who enforced Roman rule. At first glance, this would seem to be an example of Jesus hearing about the need of someone who most Jews would have considered an enemy. But in this particular case, there seems to be an awful lot good about this centurion. He has sent some leading Jews to Jesus to make a request on his help, for help on his behalf. He has a servant that's sick. He wants Jesus to do something. He sends some Jews to Jesus, and they come referring to him as a friend. He may be a Gentile, he may be in the army, but they come on his behalf, describing him as a friend of the Jews, pointing out that he built their synagogue, whether that's physically or by giving money. He's been a good man, and these Jews are willing to speak for him. And Jesus responds with compassion. He begins to head toward the centurion's home, But even before he gets there, the centurion sends word and stops him. My guess is the centurion understands that for a religious leader, a teacher, to go into the home of a Gentile would have made him unclean. He also evidently didn't feel worthy of Jesus coming into his home. And so he sends word to Jesus and says, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed." He had a faith that believed Jesus could heal the servant even if Jesus didn't come in person. And he sent the word saying, "You just say the word, and I believe that my servant will be healed." And in response, Jesus says, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith, even in Israel." It's a wonderful miracle as the servant gets well. And it's one of those passages that I've heard sermons about that emphasize to us, if you have enough faith, God will respond to your prayers. If you believe, if you have faith, if you trust God, God's going to answer your prayers. And as we hear this story, this is one of those stories that makes us feel good. A man with faith, a man who seems worthy, a man who has so much good in him, sends word to Jesus, believes in Jesus, and gets the healing that he wants for his servant. There's a lot of talk these days about who's worthy of help and who's not worthy of help, when we should respond and when we shouldn't. This is one of those stories we feel good about. Somebody worthy with faith sees Jesus, respond to his faith, affirm his faith, and heal the centurion's servant. But then Luke tells us, soon afterward, they were going along the road with his disciples and a large crowd. They come to the town of Nain, and he sees what amounts to a funeral procession. They're heading out. A young man has died. The deceased was the only son of his mother who was also a widow. Now, I have sat with families who've lost a child. I've heard it said in a number of ways, in a number of places, that there is no grief worse than losing a child. Because that happens before a parent goes. It's not in the right order. It brings grief. So we see this and we imagine there's a grief that comes in losing a child. But the culture of that day made this even worse. For women in that day were generally dependent in a variety of ways, including financially, on the men in their life. Having lost her husband, she was dependent on her son to provide for her. And when her only son passes away, she basically is left with no source of support, no one to care for her. Many folks in that circumstance would have ended up before long on the street begging for help, because she would have had no one left in her life to provide for her. Jesus sees this. We're told that he felt compassion. He took initiative. He raised the man back to life and returns him to his mother. And the crowd praises God, saying, "God has come to help his people." It's another beautiful story of healing, isn't it? Jesus sees someone in need. He cares for a widow who's lost her only child, her means of support, who feels grief and loss in a variety of ways. And he responds, he takes initiative, he does a miracle. But unlike the first story in Luke 7, we don't learn anything much about this widow. We're not told whether she had faith. We don't get any impression that she expected Jesus to do anything. She didn't seem to send word out to Jesus saying, "Help me, I'm in a mess I can't get out of." This is a story where Jesus takes total and complete initiative. And even after the son is raised from the dead and given back to the mother, we're not told how she responded. Was she grateful? We assume yes. Was she now a believer and her follower? We don't know. It's an interesting contrast of stories. One in which Jesus responds to faith by doing a healing. And one where Jesus simply takes initiative to do what nobody else could have imagined and what nobody even seems to believe was possible. And yet Luke places these stories next to each other, gives us a glimpse of Jesus who in one moment is doing a healing in response to faith, and in another is responding saying, here, let me do this for you whether you had any faith or not. It's interesting when we read the Scriptures to see the various ways Jesus reacts to people in need. We certainly see times where God responds through Jesus to the faith of people who come to Him asking for a miracle. We see times where Jesus sees someone like Zacchaeus, who didn't need a physical miracle but was curious enough to climb a tree, and Jesus responds to his curiosity and his need with grace and invitation to Zacchaeus into relationship. But there are other times we see Jesus taking initiative and healing folks who didn't show much faith or certainly didn't even show much gratitude. Remember the 10 lepers who were healed and headed off home? Only one of them came back to express gratitude. I raise this because it strikes me that there are some voices out there who talk about God as if they've got God all figured out. If we do this, God will do that. If we have faith, God will answer our prayers. But the God I see in Scripture is so much bigger than what we could ever imagine. Sometimes Jesus does indeed respond to the faith of people who call out to Him. And other times He simply responds with compassion to heal, to welcome, to invite folks who were minding their own business. And I'm reminded, anytime we think we've got God all figured out, we need to be reminded God's so much bigger than our human minds can comprehend. We may not always understand why God does the things God does, when God chooses to act, why God doesn't always act the way we think He does. But sometimes I hear folks say to someone, if you just have enough faith, God will respond. And I find myself looking at the Scripture being reminded there were times God responded to folks who didn't have a whole lot of faith. Folks who said, I believe, help my unbelief. And folks that Jesus saw, had compassion on, and cared for, even when they didn't seem to understand who He was. I'd love to be able to stand here and say, if you just do this, God will do that. But God is beyond our comprehension. And yet, the more I study Scripture, the more I look back in my own life, the more I find myself trying to seek God, the more clear I am is that even though we can't control God, we can't put God in a box, we can't always understand how God acts, why God acts, when God acts, increasingly I'm convinced that we can join the crowds of Luke 7 in believing that God has come to help His people. It may not always be in the ways we expect. It may not always be in the ways we pray for. But over and over, the glimpse we get in Scripture is a God who cares for us, walks with us, loves us, has power to bring help and even healing. But there are times we're not always sure how God's working, and there's no guaranteed formula that promises us God will work the ways we expect or we want. And yet, when we stop and pay attention, when we stop and reflect back, even on the valleys of our lives, we find time and time again that God has come to help His people. That God is faithful, not always in the ways we expect, not always in the ways we pray for, but always faithful to care for us, walk with us, and help shape us to become the people God wants us to be. I came across a story a few years ago about a Lutheran pastor named Scott Schmieding. About 15 years ago, Pastor Schmieding was diagnosed with tongue cancer. He was at MD Anderson in Houston getting treatment, talking about options, and the doctors, after considering what they needed to do, said, "Really, the only thing we feel like we can do is take your tongue out." He made his life as a minister. This shook him up. He admitted in retrospect he wasn't really afraid of death, but how could he fulfill his calling if he couldn't speak? And he admits in retrospect that he spent most of his time praying that God would either heal him or take him home. "Make it better, save my tongue, or take me home. I don't know that I could fulfill my calling anymore if you don't work one of those two ways." Schmieding did go ahead and have surgery. He survived the cancer, but he lost his tongue. He spent some time having to learn to swallow again, dealing with the fact he couldn't produce saliva. He had to retrain himself to speak using a special retainer and some muscles that were brought in from his abdomen. But even with all of the speech therapy he went through, his voice was still harder to understand than it had once been. And yet he kept working, kept praying, wondering in some moments why God hadn't answered his prayer the way he wanted it answered, wondering why he was here and what he could still do, desiring to follow God's call. And a few years back, he heard from a church who wanted to talk to him about becoming pastor. He wrestled with this. He struggled with it. He went to his speech therapist and said, "I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure that the congregation would be able to understand half of what I'm saying." And in a moment of grace, the speech therapist said, "Isn't it that true of most pastors?" Even with his struggles and his limitations, even with speech that was harder to understand than it is for most of us, members of that church called him to be their pastor. And a woman who'd been on the pastor selection committee said, "If someone is willing to work that hard to speak after going through what he went through, I'm going to work twice as hard to listen." And Schmieding himself admits, "I've become an expert in adversity. I know what people are feeling when they face trials and tragedy." And he says, as he reflects back, that he believes he's been able to reach more people because of his story and his testimony than he would have if he'd never gone through all that he had faced. He says, "The history of the Bible is the story of God using imperfect people for perfect purposes. I'm just one in a very long line of imperfect people being used by God." I hear that story and I'm reminded of Romans 8:28. God works all things together for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God works in our lives, not always in the ways we expect, but always in His ways that allow Him to bless us, care for us, and show that God still comes to help His people. We may not always get our prayers answered the ways we want them answered. We may muster all the faith we have and still not see things turn out the way we think they should. But over and over again, we see in Scripture, God through Jesus, caring for people, some with great faith, some with no evident faith at all, simply because God is a God of compassion who comes to us to walk with us, to help with us, to show compassion, and to bless us and shape us to become more and more like Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are at work, even when we don't always understand. We thank you that you help us and care for us, even when it's not the way that we wish for. We thank you that you love us and respond to us when we have a strong faith. But we thank you also that you take initiative to us and love us even when our faith is lacking. Remind us to trust you. Remind us to seek you. Help us to grow in faith, knowing we may not be able to keep you in a box or understand all that you do, but help us to trust that you love us and that you're at work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn invites us to remember how good it is to trust in Jesus. God may not always work in the ways we wish or expect, but